Our scripture today is from Philippians, 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained this and have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Thus ends the reading.
Good morning and Happy New Year. You wonder why the pastor gave me the opportunity to preach. Me too, I have the same question. Let me say, Monday, November 7th, I had a meeting here at church. At the beginning of the meeting, the pastor approached me and said, "Jules, do you want to preach on December 31st and January 1st? I said, "Oh, wow. Strange a little bit. I did not have the courage to tell the pastor, "No, I don't want." But he also added that, "Don't worry about it if you cannot. I have other options." I said, "Oh, great. I'm happy about the other options." So I told him, because I did not have the courage to say yes, I told him, "Well, give me a couple of days. By the end of the week, I'm going to give you an answer," knowing that my answer would be no. So we met again the following Sunday. I met the pastor. I said, "I'm still thinking," though my answer was no. So on Monday, the following day, a week after he asked me if I was willing to preach, at home, I went in front of the computer. I wrote a message to the pastor. I wrote the message, "Thank you for the opportunity. It was very nice and for such an honor, but my answer is no." But as I was ready to send it, I felt so uncomfortable, such in pain. I rushed to my wife and said, "Look, here's this email that I want to send to the pastor," and said, "No, but I cannot. I cannot send the email." So I just told my wife I would take another day to think about it. So that was still, my answer was no. And I had a meeting on Tuesday, the following day, with the pastor. As soon as I saw him, I said yes, without knowing what I'm going to talk about today. But what is strange is that as soon as I said yes, a burden was lifted. I sat down, and the sermon was written after a couple of days. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, what a privilege and what a blessing to stand here in this first day of 2017. It's not by chance that we are here. It's not by accident. It's because of your goodness toward us, and for that we want to say thank you. We put behind 2016, regardless of the pain we experienced, the sickness we had, the disappointment we had, we want to say, oh God, goodbye 2016. And we wait with great anticipation for what you are about to do for us this year. Open our ears and eyes to see your glory, the manifestation of your work, and let us be grateful for this year 2017. Regardless what the year brings, we want to give you praise, honor, and the glory. Speak, O Lord, and your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you happen to open the Bible in the second book of Kings, in chapter 5, there is a story of a successful commander in the army of Aram. Unfortunately, he had a disease, the leprosy, a skin disease, and there was no cure for him. But he heard that there was somebody in Israel that could heal him, the prophet Elisha. So he started a trip to go to see, to meet the prophet. When he was near the house of the prophet Elisha, the prophet knew that he was coming. The prophet sent some kind of messengers to meet the commander with the following instruction: "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy." The commander did not understand why the prophet did not come and meet him at least at the door and say some kind of word or prayer so that he can get healed. He was really upset. He was angry. Here's what he said: "I thought that he will surely come out of out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God. Wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? The commander turned and went off with rage. He was furious, upset, disappointed, and only wanted to go back home and live with his disease. Then his servant that came with him, along with him, began to convince him to at least try the advice and instructions of the prophet. Before giving up, the servant said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great things, will you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" The commander reluctantly went to the river, the Jordan River. I'm sure that many of us have rivers we need to go to. And we do whatever we can to avoid them. Let me tell you a couple of rivers. Our health is failing, but we refuse to take the medicine that can cure us. We postpone some kind of medical procedures because we are so afraid of the painful and slow rehabilitation process. And perhaps also we suffer some kind of addiction, but we refuse to seek the help we need. Our marriage is falling apart, but we do our best to avoid any counselor. Our financial situation is not good, but when we go and meet an advisor and he asks us to reduce our expenses and save more money, we shut the door. We want to grow in our faith, but we don't want to read the Bible. We don't want to pray. We don't want to attend worship. When God calls us to serve in the church, though we have the resources and the time to do so, we run away like Jonah. We choose not to do any work or make any effort that can improve our situations. We do not want to entertain the thought of going to the river and taking several baths, as the prophet instructed the commander. I want to suggest that we prefer not to go to the rivers, perhaps because we are so afraid of working hard to resolve our issues. Or perhaps we are ashamed of our struggle and ashamed to be exposed. And finally, perhaps we are not sure that following the recommended step will bring the healing that we need. But it seems for me that there is a time that we are willing to go to the rivers. Is at the beginning of each year, in the month of January, we make some kind of New Year's resolution. According to the statistics, about 45% of Americans make any kind of New Year's resolution. As far as I'm concerned, 100% of people make resolution every year, because choosing not to make a resolution is already a resolution. So let me mention, for instance, the top 10 resolutions that people made in 2015 in America. The first one, losing weight. Second one, getting organized. Number three, spend less, save more. Number four, enjoy life to the fullness. Number five, staying fit and healthy. Number six, learn something exciting. Number seven, quit smoking. Number eight, help others in their dreams. Number nine, fall in love. And number 10, spend more time with family. I have no doubt that each one of us could identify with at least one of these resolutions. And even you may add more to the list. Read the Bible more, come to church more, serve in the church more. Unfortunately, statistics show that when we go to the river through New Year's resolutions, at least 56% of the resolutions are broken after 6 months.
And if you go a little bit further even, only 8% of people achieve their resolutions. I want to suggest that is just my own analysis. The reason that there's such a low percentage of success is that people do not jump into the river enough time until they reach their goals. Let me suggest that three things that I believe, according to me, can help us stay in the river as long as possible until we reach our goals. The first one, when you make a resolution and when you make any commitment, first, include God in your resolution, in your commitment. Let's see your resolution as a spiritual journey where all the time you ask for God's help, God's guidance, God's strength, so that He may really give you the extra push that you need to implement your resolution. The second thing I want to mention, rely on the community around you, because you cannot do it all yourself. When you go to the river, if I go back to the story of the commander did not want to go to the river, even did not believe that going to the river, at the river, something good could happen, that he could get healed. But he got the encouragement of the people he was with. They told him, look, we are going to be with you. We are going to walk with you to the river. When we get to the river, you are going to make sure that you take enough bath until you get healed. So if you are surrounded with safe people, positive people who understand what you are going through, you receive the proper help, the proper support until you see some kind of a positive thing happening in your life. And the last thing, the third thing, when you get to the river, when you start the process, do whatever you can until something happens. Work hard until something happens. Take the medicine until something happens. Exercise until something happens. Save money until something happens. Invest in your relationship until something happens. Worship God until something happens. Pray until something happens. Do not give up until something positive happens in your life. There's a story. Just after Thanksgiving, I went to see my doctor for the annual physical exam. Well, the nurse, before I saw the doctor, the nurse took my weight, my blood pressure. So when the doctor came and saw me in the small room, the first thing that he said, smiling, Jules, your weight went up compared to 2015. So I told him immediately, look, in 2015, I was in your office before Thanksgiving. In 2016, it's after Thanksgiving. You know that at Thanksgiving, I need to eat. So I gained weight just because I ate too much during the Thanksgiving period. But I knew that it was not the case. So after, I was bothered by this because I don't think that the way that he said to me, he said, well, be careful. And directly I realized that he was warning me. So when I went back home, after a couple of days, I committed to exercise every day. For the past 4 weeks, I've been exercising every morning, with the expectation that when I will meet with him after Thanksgiving, in about 11 months, well, I will be below my weight of 2015. But I'm still in the Thanksgiving mood. Whenever I go to see a coworker in his office, there's chocolate. I need to eat something. There are family gathering, friend gathering. There's chocolate. There's cake. I'm still in the Thanksgiving mood. I've been exercising more than ever in my life. My weight is going up. The good news is that my weight is going up. So what am I going to do? I commit to myself that I'm going to exercise until my weight goes down, until I meet the doctor in about 11 months. But I have to compromise with my wife. We need to celebrate Thanksgiving after my doctor visit. So if I go back to the story, the commander eventually went to the river. He took the first bath. He still had his skin disease. He took the second bath. Nothing happened. He took the third one. He was still sick. Eventually, he jumped into the river the seventh time. When he got out of the river, he looked at his skin. He was cured. So like the commander, let us take as many baths as needed until something happens in our lives when we face some kind of struggle. We have to stay the course and do not abandon our goal until we achieve them. The Apostle Paul, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, witnessed many hardships. He did not allow the pain of the journey to the river to discourage him. In spite of the obstacle he was pressing on, here's what we said in the scripture that we just read. I'm going to just read the last two verses. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining too hard toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. So the Apostle Paul put behind his past failure, his disappointment, and chose to remain focused, fixing his eyes on his goal until they came to pass. You too can lean on God and press on when you go to the river, when you go to your struggle, when you go to your resolution. If you do not quit, something good will happen. When I was writing the sermon, I was ready to stop there. I realized that something was missing. I could not stop the sermon there. Because I know that there is a river that you and I can go to. We do not have to do any work. We do not have to sweat. We do not have to pray hard. It's at the river of the cross, where Jesus died for you and I. If we go at the river of the cross and rely on the water that is flowing there, God promised that our sins are washed away. We don't have to do any work because everything is paid off. At the beginning of each year, the first resolution that I make is only to drink over and over from the river of the cross, because I know that I receive grace upon grace, strength upon strength, hope, perseverance, endurance, to face whatever challenge or the other resolutions that I have in my life. I'm making my life, the New Year's resolution I make. The question that I have, what about you? Where do you go to when you face struggle? Where do you go to when you have challenges, when you make resolution? I want to suggest to you, start with the river of the cross, knowing that God will meet there and give you the strength that you need to really face the challenges of life, to really help you in your other resolutions. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you one more time for 2017. We thank you for the resolution that we make or the commitment that we make to be better people. We know that on our own we cannot do it. We need the help of your Holy Spirit. We need your grace. We need the river of the cross to help us to be the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.